Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Joseph Fordham and this is NPLH In Conversation With, the football podcast that isn't about football, brought to you by NPLH Studio. NPLH is more than a podcast. Once you've hit the follow button, visit nplhmag.com to enjoy online reads, subscribe to our newsletter and browse our collection of magazines, prints and apparel. On to the show. Jordan Jasolva is one third of Neighbourhood Sports Club, the creative collective using football, fashion and art to build community for the people of Oakland, California. That's pretty cool, but we don't really talk about any of that. Instead, Jordan shares the origins of her football love story, that playing professionally was the only option she ever saw for herself, and how that dream was met with constant opposition from her body. No bitterness in sight though, she's stronger for every injury and corresponding surgery, finds herself exactly where she's meant to be and in a position to help those fighting the same battles. All that and plenty more. Over to Jordan. Yes, it's recording. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Is it all good? Let me plug it in because I heard that's good too.
What did you do?
I have multiple Chromes, I guess. I don't know. Like, I was on my other email and I just... What?
You're a drug dealer. You got burner Chromes.
That's how I keep up with NSC, actually. Let me show you. There's like... It's so weird. It does this sometimes and I'm just so confused. But anyways, it's working. I'm so glad.
Nice one. Thanks for persevering with that.
Yeah, I was on a mission to make it work.
There's probably something in there that we'll end up chatting about in terms of competitiveness, not giving up.
Yeah, my determination.
And all this kind of stuff, yeah. Look forward to getting stuck into that. That's funny. I didn't realise that your clocks change ahead of ours. And yeah. I thought we were rolling with an 8-hour difference. But it's just the 7.
We just had daylight savings time.
Yeah, ours is in like 2 weeks, I think. Something.
Oh,
like.
Okay. I didn't know if that was a thing you guys did too.
Yeah. You know what? In Australia, this is completely irrelevant because neither of us live there. But some states do it and some states don't.
No, that happens here too.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it is relevant.
It's like, yeah, it's going to be on the ballot, I think, where we can now vote for it, which... I don't understand the science of this hour thing, so we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah. We can move swiftly on. So this is part 3 of the All-Star Mr. and Mrs. NSC series with Max and Dylan already in the bag.
I didn't listen to theirs because I just like don't want to know. I want to listen to them after.
Yeah, find out what they said about you.
Yeah, exactly.
It was tricky. Well, it's more tricky with Dylan's, and I'll have the same experience now. Trying not to go down the same route, but I guess whilst the destination is the same with NSC, everyone's route there is quite different, and you've both had different experiences. So I know you've played overseas, so we'll get into that. But what I guess it would be good to get into is how your journey as a player started. Where and how that evolved into a professional career.
So I have 3 older sisters. I'm the youngest by a ways. And they were the one, my dad and like mom had really no idea about what football, soccer was. And my sister, thankfully, was like, Dad, I want to play soccer. And so he was like, okay. And he took her out, like learned everything that needed to be learned for the most part, like what he could. And so when I was born, I was quite literally like on the field as a baby, like an infant, because my sisters had games. And so I grew up at the field. When I got older, anytime halftime hit, I was sprinting out to the field to shoot on the goal and like be involved. And then as I got older, like I always wanted to go to my sister's games. Like I did not want to miss even practice. I would tag along because I like did not want to miss anything. Not like I didn't know any different, but I just loved it so much. I really don't know what it was. But I played all the time. I played in my backyard. My sister, who is closest to me, is 5.5 years older. So we would play 1v1 in the backyard all the time. Like, I'd be tiny trying to get past her, like not let her get past me. And so that's kind of how it all started. And my two older sisters stopped playing in high school. And my other sister, who's closest to me, ended up playing at Cal and then professionally after that. But the league folded because it was so unstable. It folded a year after her professional, like 1 year after she started playing. So I definitely saw like that as an issue. I remember really wanting to go to college to play soccer. Like, that was no doubt in my head, but it was like, there wasn't a lot of opportunities to be doing that. But I don't think I ever was really concerned. I think I secretly had hope that like, oh, there would be a good women's league that I could like go play into. And so, yeah, I was really just focused on like not only going to play soccer at school, but like getting a scholarship and making sure that happened. And so I thankfully was able to do that. But then the whole professional thing, yeah, it was great, but it was cut very short. So that's the sad part about it.
Hope and expectation often leads to disappointments, right?
Yeah.
You've got one picture in your mind of how that turns out, and the world has different ideas.
Yeah, no, like, and I try to think that like things maybe didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen or thought it would happen, but things are now working out like to be better, you know? So like, there's always something better. Like, it's not like we're being punished for something. It's more so like you're being brought to like what you're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. Like, going back to something you mentioned about there not necessarily being loads of options in terms of a professional career, but you weren't really concerned. You just kind of felt that something would kind of figure itself out.
Yeah.
There's like an air of kind of confidence to that, perhaps in your own ability or perhaps in just things falling as they should, or a bit of both. I don't know. But would that be an accurate thing to say? Like, you're just kind of like, yeah, okay, the options are slim, but I am good, so I will be okay.
Yeah, I think it was a mixture of both. I was aware because I grew up in Southern California, and Southern California has a huge like women's and girls soccer scene. Like, so many youth is playing soccer. And I'm sorry, I'm saying soccer, not football. It's just like,
no, that's cool.
American, you know?
Most of the listeners are over your side, so it's all good. I should say it more. Maybe I need to start saying it a little bit more.
I feel so weird. But, and so I always had this hope of like, women's soccer is on the rise. Like, there's no way that there's not going to be a league because there is so many women playing. And like, so many, like, it was crazy to me that there is this many youth girls playing without any like really hope to play in a league, because there wasn't a league and it wasn't stable. And if you were playing in the league, you were working other jobs because you weren't getting paid enough. But that's a whole nother story and topic. But yeah, I was just like, this is going to work out in my head. And I knew there would be like some opportunity abroad because there were leagues. Like, the pay was always an issue, but I always wanted to play professionally, even if I wasn't getting paid at all. I just wanted to continue to play because I loved it so much. And yeah, I think it was I need to take notes for myself then, because I get so worried about the future now of like, oh, am I good enough at what I'm doing to be successful? But like, when I was playing, I wasn't worried about that at all. You know, I was just like so focused on just taking it day by day, practice by practice, game by game. And now I'm like, you know, you don't really have that practice in life. Like, you do have practice in life, but with my sport, I saw that like, there was that structure, but there was also things to look forward to. And you had like, oh, I know I have a game in like 2 weeks, so I can prepare for that. But now with like entrepreneurship and just life in general, you have to really just take it day by day because you don't really know what's going to happen in a week or so, or even the next day. So having that trust is really, and learning to have that trust in myself and just everything else, it has been hard, but I like to go back to my younger aspiring soccer player self to really get that extra confidence and trust back.
Yeah, there's an extra level of confidence in us before life starts to kind of chip away, right? We forget that kind of that person is in us. That's come up a couple of times lately in conversation. Like we move away from ourselves, our true selves, as we get older and start kicking a few more cans down the road in terms of like emotional baggage and all that kind of thing, and the self-doubt creeps in and all this sort of thing. But you've already got the data in store that you've done it before, but it's just suppressed with loads of
exactly
nonsense, I guess, that we pick up along the way.
Well, there's a little more responsibility, I would say, in life when you get older. So I think that's definitely playing a role, but you can still have that trust and faith that everything's going to work out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. You mentioned that your sisters trailed off around high school, but you kept at it. And like that around that age, a lot of teenage girls do drop out of the game for like a host of reasons.
Yeah.
They'll love it as much as you do, no doubt, but circumstances or whatever it is will just pull them away from it. So I guess the question is, what was it that kept you going when so many don't?
That's a tough question. Cause like, I don't know. I think I didn't have a doubt that I wasn't not going to continue to play. I think part of it was seeing my other sister do that. I got to see like how that was done. And I also was practicing and training so much to make sure that was happening. And I think by like showing up for myself every day, I knew that like, there's no way that this isn't going to happen. And I think I loved it so much that was also the reason too. Thinking back, like I know, cause like I see it now where like Dylan coaches and I see some of like his kids, like, oh, some of them become uninterested when they get a little older, when they're in high school, but some are really into it still. And I think I was just always on the ladder of like, I love playing so much. This is all I want to do. And I think that drive in itself is what pushed me. I was good at it, I think, too. And so, yes, people stop things that they're good at, but I think a lot of times, like, you continue to do things that you're good at. And I feel like that's kind of what also helped push me. I think if I wasn't as good as I was, it would have been harder, but it was just like a natural thing at times. And I think that's what it was just like so fun. I really enjoyed it. Obviously there are challenges when it comes to games and it comes to like training and mental like challenges you're also going through, but I loved it so much that like that didn't really bother me.
Did you stop doing anything else that you were good at or that you loved to not sacrifice football?
Yeah, I mean, I played all the sports growing up, even in like junior high, high school, well, like junior high, like the middle age school and high school, I played almost all the sports. And then there was a time where I had to be like, okay, I can't be playing. My freshman year, I tried to also play volleyball, but like it just wasn't working out because of time and I couldn't play for soccer purposes. And yeah, there was definitely a time where I just had to stop, which was hard because I enjoyed doing that too. But I mean, it was my job, you know, like that's how I looked at it. And it wasn't ever a bad thing. I always really enjoyed doing it. But I definitely had to decide, like, is this what I want to do? And I was like, 100%, like, no question. And there's also other sacrifices along the way of like, I wasn't always going to like school dances or parties or like going out to hang out with my friends every single like weekend or whatever. Like I definitely sacrificed that. But again, like I didn't really care at the time. Like I loved to play and I wanted to show up as the best player. And I really looked at it as like, this is my job. But like, it kind of sounds crazy to say that because I feel like I sounded a little too like, I need to be here at this time and like be so serious, but I just loved doing it, that it was natural. Like I didn't care. Like I would get invited and I wouldn't even ask my parents if I could go because I was like, I'm not going, you know, like I have other things I need to do.
Did that sort of surprise your parents? It sounds like they had a pretty easy ride. You were swerving all of the trouble spots and just,
I know,
sticking to the sports program. Dream kid.
Yeah, no, I think having my sisters, I got to see like certain things, like not bad things or anything, but I got to see like, I lived life through them at times. And I'm also like, okay with hanging out at home by myself, or I love to do that. And so that helps a little bit too. But yeah, I think I would say my parents had a pretty easy childhood with me because yeah, probably of honestly my like sports, because I just loved it so much that I was like, I'm not gonna risk not doing well.
You'll have to bring this up the next time you see them and just say you're welcome.
I will. I'm visiting them right now, so I'll have to ask them when I go home.
Yeah, just go downstairs and say you never actually thanked me for yeah. that easy ride yeah. I gave you back then, you know.
I know. Was that, I should.
So like you're going through college and it's becoming clear that this opportunity is going to present itself to you. What does it look like then from playing at college to then moving into a career?
It's definitely uncharted territory because the league wasn't super, I don't know how many years it was going when I was like entering that stage of my life, but I didn't really know like what to expect because like I said, my sister played in, I forget what league she played in, like what they called it then, but it folded a year after. So I was a little like worried around then because I'm like, oh, this is getting serious. Like I'm getting to be like in that stage of where I need to figure out if playing professionally, like I knew I wanted to play, but at the same time, I was definitely worried and cautious because I saw that like she played for a year and then she didn't have a choice to like continue on really. Like she could have gone to play abroad, but like chances were small. And again, like pay, like what are you going to do? How are you going to survive basically? And so I was definitely worried, but still hopeful that everything was going to work out. And I think there needs to be a little more support. I think there is now, but that transition is really a strange transition, especially with the women's side, because the league wasn't so strong and there's obviously like lack of jobs within that whole like organization of how we can like transition players and agents and all that stuff. Like when I was trying to play professionally, like agents were very hard to find, and if so, like trusting them and like knowing that like they were going to find you somewhere to play or even like respond to you was big. And like I still have friends playing that like have problems like that, and so that was like a very like rude awakening, because you really felt alone at times of like, is this actually going to happen, and like how do I make that happen, and how do I actually yeah, like fulfill that career of like going to play professionally and making sure it was actually going to work out and like you weren't going to get scammed by someone, you know?
Yeah. Is some of that worry, or was some of that worry rather built on like a, I mean, you'd put all your eggs in one basket, right? So is it equally a case of, oh shit, what am I going to do? I've kind of, all the chips are in. And if this doesn't work out, I don't actually know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, 100%. And I think at the time, I was so like adamant that it was going to work out. Like I was going to make it work no matter what. And I think there was times where I was like, what am I going to do if I don't play? And like, I really didn't know. Cause like, I was, like I said, I put so much time into this one thing that I didn't really ever explore. I mean, like I did explore other things and I knew like there was other interests I had, but I felt like they weren't serious, if that makes sense. Like, that's like a hard thing. I feel like I don't even know because I was just so focused on playing and I was like, I have to make this work out, you know? I feel like there's other tangents in there for sure that we could like explore on.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm just thinking if like, do you think the absence of, or the lack of other options that you gave yourself helped in bringing the reality of a career to the fore?
No, I would agree with that for sure. I think that was definitely part of it. And nothing else really interests me as much as what playing did, or at least even like, which now, like just being involved in soccer and football, like I don't have to be playing, but I can still be involved in. I didn't really know that, you know, like I didn't know all the other jobs that were available or things I could create for myself then. You know, like I just kind of saw it as black or white. And I think that was definitely the motivator of like, oh, I'm making this work.
Yeah, you're part of that system, right? You're going through that process where you're like, okay, if I follow these steps, then I'll go to college, yeah. I'll play there and post college. That's all you, yeah. What you see is what you know, the same as anything. If you'd have been exposed to different things, you would be all in on those. But how do you go from, this might be a bit of a jump, but how do you go from college to Norway?
So I was in college senior year. I then go to play with the Seattle Reign in the NWSL, but there's a slight problem because like a month prior to preseason I was hospitalized because I had a complication with my IUD that like my body was going septic. It basically like burned a hole and I had this huge infection going through my body. Like I almost died. And I literally remember being in the hospital. I was in the hospital for a week. I was still in school and I was supposed to leave in a month to go play preseason. And I think like definitely then, like, I mean, for a week, I didn't even know what was going on because I was so drugged by like, because I was in so much pain, like, my friends were so concerned, like coming to the hospital, like no one knew what was really going to happen. And so then I was like, I know I have to be at preseason in a month, but like, I'm not even like thinking about that. Cause like, I don't even know if I'll make it, you know? And so that was kind of like a pivotal moment in a way, because I was more so just like grateful to like be alive. Like I wasn't concerned about playing for once in my life. And that was kind of new to me because prior to that, I was like so concerned about playing. And like, even prior to that, I had two knee surgeries. Like I tore my ACL. That was the biggest thing that had ever happened to me. And that happened in college. And then I had another surgery my junior year after that. And like, those were two big things, but I knew that I could come back from that. And I knew that I'd be able to play. But like, this was so different because it wasn't like a knee injury, it was a health issue. And like, they weren't sure what was going on with me when I was in the hospital, like no one knew. So that was like the scariest thing. And like, maybe the most eye opening thing for me when it comes to my playing career was like, that was like, I don't care about playing for the first time, I just want to be okay. And so that was a crazy situation that happened. And a month later, I showed up at preseason. And I literally couldn't even jog around the field because I was so like, I lost 20 pounds. Like I couldn't even like walk around my house. And then I show up to preseason like, hey, like I'm ready. But like this happened to me a month prior, like you guys need to know. And so they were really, really helpful and like helped me ease into playing. And I finally was able to start playing games. And I played in the scrimmage before and I felt great, but it, like, I found out I had to have surgery to remove a fallopian tube because it got messed up in that whole infection. And so I had to get surgery, and then I couldn't play for like 6 or so months. So that's kind of how I ended up going to Norway. So after I had surgery, I took those like 6 or so months off, and then I started training. Thanks to Dylan, he really got me back into playing and in shape, and we went to Norway. So it was a weird turn. It wasn't necessarily like I had planned to do that, because I was planning to play in the NWSL, but life, as always, has other plans, like we were talking about, and that's how I ended up playing in Norway. And I'm so grateful I did, because I love it. I loved that whole experience. You got to see different cultures. You got to see the world. You got to learn about yourself, because you had a lot of time to yourself, you know, like you don't have your family over there. It's harder to make friends. Like, you have your teammates, but you don't have people to just rely on. And also like a massive time change where like a lot of your friends and family are asleep half the day when you're there. And so it was just a really cool experience for me. And like, I felt like I grew so much in that time. And so, yeah, that's how I got to Norway.
Yeah, that's not what I was expecting. I thought it might have just been a call for an agent. So, well, thank you for sharing that with me. That is obviously a deeply traumatic period that will carry a lot of impact. What did those 6 or so months look like after that surgery, before getting to Norway? Like, you mentioned, I guess, an element of isolation in Norway and getting used to being on your own and stuff like that. But, you know, those 6 months, was there a lot of time in your head, which can often be a much more dangerous place to be than being on your own, quite literally?
Yeah.
How did that change you? Norway changed you, but how did did those 6 months kind of change you, I guess?
Yeah. I feel like that would, like, I think that was 2018. I think it was the most pivotal year of my life. Wait, I think it was actually 2017. Yeah. 2017 was like the year I graduated, the year all that stuff happened. And I felt like there was definitely times where so I had surgery and I was in Seattle. Like, they helped me with surgery and everything. Like, it was honestly like they treated me so well. They helped me so much. And I really am grateful for that. And that's honestly what made it hard, because I was going to stay there and like try and recover and then try and get back in playing again. But I felt like I really wanted to do that. I felt like I was giving up if I didn't. And I was scared that like what was going to happen if I did it. And I feel like that was a really hard year for me, because I felt like I was kind of ignoring like how I felt and what I actually wanted. I felt like I had to prove people. And I think it was really proving myself that like, oh, I could play professionally. And so I wasn't happy because I was alone a lot. And that was really hard. And I remember like I got like a random, it was like so random. I got like a little job on the side while I was there to just like, because I felt like I needed to like do something, you know. I was recovering from an injury. I couldn't play because it was like an abdominal thing. Like, I couldn't really do anything at all. And so I got this little job at like a cycling studio where I check people in. And I just remember not being happy at all. And I called my dad. I was like, I need to come home. But like, I felt bad because I was like, what am I going to do, you know? And so I felt like there was a period where I was at home. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I think one day, and like, I would go out on the weekends with my friends and like drink, and like, I don't drink that much, but I was like, I'm kind of doing this to like get away from things, you know? And I realized that like, I don't want to do that anymore. And I started to really, I think, realize like what I wanted to do. And that was a big thing for me, because I feel like that whole like weird chunk of my life was just like, it was a hard time, you know, and I wasn't feeling how I actually felt. And so I finally was like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And I thank myself for doing that, because I think it could have been a more dangerous road, if not, and of like very unhappiness. And so I think, I don't remember like the time or anything when I realized that like, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I'm not happy. Let's change things up. But I definitely do like recall that period of like making that decision to like be happier, work on myself, like stop ignoring how I really felt, and like stop going out on the weekend and like having some drinks with friends, because like that's not making me happy and I don't even feel good doing that, and it's not what I truly want. And so I remember that like being a really, it was like a really hard time, but also a really good time, because I got to like really see what I wanted. And like, I think it showed me, like, I was still really young, but I think I really had a eye-opening experience with like what I wanted. And I think obviously going through like that traumatic event of like being in the hospital and not knowing like what's happening to me and possibly like not making it the next day, like helped too, because I was, it kind of woke me up, you know?
Yeah. I guess there's a sense of like loss of identity in that period as well, because to all intents and purposes were a footballer until you couldn't play football anymore.
Yeah.
Well, for a period, at least for a period.
And yeah.
Stepping away from yourself and doing that whole kind of drinking and getting into the things that you wouldn't necessarily have been into, natural way to go as a crutch to lean on, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Probably easy for you to step, not saying it was easy, but easier to access a route out of that because of the, like, I guess, conditioning that you'd been through of being an athlete. So that's banked, that's in your bones. And you know how it feels when you do those things, that you can, you know, you've got something. Again, that word data, you've got that data to call on where, you know what, this is not for me. I know what is for me, but some people don't have that thing initially. So they can't get out of the spell that you found yourself in so easily, or quickly, rather, not easily, quickly, I should say, because I imagine it wasn't an easy time. So you end up in Norway and you're playing. So you do become a professional footballer, just not where you thought you would. And I guess, yeah, maybe exactly not what you expected or wanted, but what you needed, because it's a period of growth, like you touched on. It's a new country, new culture. You're playing the game. You haven't got your emotional supports or like the familiar surroundings around you. So it kind of, I guess it adds some resilience. Adds a bit of resilience to you there. Like,
yeah,
you hinted that it didn't last long when we started the conversation. So what happened then?
Yeah, so I started off really strong. Like, I signed with Stabæk. I went on trial with a different team, and I ended up signing with Stabæk in Oslo, which I was really grateful for because it's a beautiful place. And start off really well, like first game I score a goal, and two games later at practice, I tear my meniscus out of my shin bone. So I have to have surgery. And that was kind of like, seriously, like what's happening? And I think that was also like, I don't know. I think because of what we had just talked about, I was open to more things and exploring more interests. And so I have surgery. That was my, that becomes my third knee surgery, but fourth surgery total. And like, I've had four surgeries within 4 years, I think. And I was kind of used to it, you know, I'm like going into the surgery room, like, oh, this is going to be fine. And like, I'm having surgery in Norway, which, yeah, exactly. That's how it felt. And so I think I, like, honestly, when we talk about that, like, weird time of like you're not playing football. Like, it can be really hard and challenging, but it was almost like I knew what to do because I have been through that so many times now. And I think that what we just talked about, that whole time I learned and gained so much of like who I was, and I knew that I was going to be okay, that this time it wasn't that hard. And like through that period, I actually started a health blog, I guess you could say, while I was in Norway, because that surgery led to like some stomach problems where like I was just, I think it was also stress too, where like I just like was really uncomfortable all the time. And being in Norway, like you're not, I wasn't like really used to the grocery stores and all that stuff where I had access to here in the US. And so I started this blog to just like share like what I was going through, how I was healing, workouts I was doing, like even if I couldn't use my knee, recipes I was making that like made me feel good. And so I developed like that love and passion for doing that. Like I loved taking pictures. I loved like just sharing where I was and like what I was doing and how I was feeling. And so that like helped that period go really smoothly because I had that like other thing I really liked to do. Like, honestly, that was probably the one of the best years of my life so far. It was so much fun. Like I was safe. Like, you know, I was also very privileged in a way that like, I knew I was safe. I knew that I was like supported. And it was like more so a time of like, I get to kind of now experiment with other things that I seem to really like now. And I'm really grateful for that because it like led me to things that I'm doing now.
Was it like a suspended reality of sorts, I guess? Like you mentioned feeling safe and supported there. So you've got like the yes. space to, yeah. And I guess sounds like there's less urgency on your part to get, well, I don't know if concern's the right word. Yeah, maybe it is just less urgency because you've discovered these other things that are starting to pique your interests.
Yeah, and it's actually funny you say that because I think right now I'm realizing that when I had that surgery, like at that time, I was like, okay, this is my third knee surgery. In reality, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play again. And like, I was more so just hoping that I'd be able to like walk again and like be able to run when I was older. And in that moment, like I definitely had a hard time of like, I can't believe this is happening. Like I had these spells. I had like the like grievance period of like, I cannot believe this is happening. Like I literally just got here. Classic. This is happening. Like I never got hurt growing up. It was like the weirdest thing that I'm getting all of these injuries. And so I had that period. And then I had the period of like, okay, I have these other interests that I have now. And it's making it more so like helpful because if I'm not going to play, then I have some other things that I'm really interested in. But I didn't even know that like those things could be jobs also. Like I was just doing that because I had so much passion. I had so much fun doing it. But yeah, I think usually like prior, like when I tore my ACL, I was like stressed about, okay, when can I play again? I need to make this happen right away. But when I went into this surgery in Norway, I was more so like, okay, I want to be able to just be healthy and like be able to run and like do things when I'm older. And so I think that put pressure off of me to like come back as soon as possible.
Do you think that you would have had the same mindset with that knee surgery had you not had the more serious surgery back in the States? Do you think that did that add like a new perspective to you in terms of health and longevity outside of the game?
Yeah, definitely. And I do think that like having so many surgeries prior to that, it was more so also just a health thing. I was like, this is like a sign. Like, I feel like the universe is not wanting me to play, to actually just play anymore. So like, maybe I need to like think outside, like look at other options, like experiment. And then the other thing about being in Norway is like my contract was through the year. So like I wasn't going to go home, and Dylan was still playing there too. So like I wasn't going to leave him. And it was like, honestly, I got like, I don't want to say free time, but I had like a period of time to figure out like freely without a lot of stress, because I was still being supported with my contract of like, okay, I can figure out. And like, I also didn't, I kind of thought like maybe I will be able to play one more time, even though like that is a really long recovery. And so I think I was just very grateful for that like time to have of like support, safety, and everything to like kind of start thinking about like, oh, what are other interests I have and what are other things I can like maybe do, even though I was still wanting to play like later on.
Yeah, I guess that's natural, right? Because the ego is bubbling away in the background. Like I've got one more coming. I've at least got a comeback in me.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it was the same. Dylan was the same the other day. He was like, you know, you're kind of scratching around for contracts at some points, and you're like, oh, maybe this is it. And then you have a good kick about with your mates, and you're like, you know what? Yeah, that's it. Let's do one more year, even though the signs are pointing at the path leading you off in a different direction. Yeah. You don't want to let go to something that you've attached yourself to so keenly over the years. Yeah. But on that note, was there, I guess, even though you've got this kind of vague desire to play again.
Yeah.
It sounds like there was also like an acceptance that this wasn't going to pan out, and you were looking at other possibilities as you're starting to develop these other interests as well. Was there a sense of like, I guess, like shedding a bit of weight, so to speak,
that yeah,
you could move on? And
yeah, so definitely, because during that recovery, I definitely felt like, I'm still trying to play, you know, but like, I'm not gonna maybe force it. And at the time when I was kind of trying to get back into things, we moved back to the States because Dylan was playing with the Roots. But during the recovery, I did find out that I had to have another surgery. So that was probably the tipping point for me.
The same knee.
Yeah, same knee. Like,
are your knees made of cheesecake?
It's just my right one. It is made of cheesecake. Like, that's literally, or like, yeah, it's not good. And so my surgeon here thinks that just like it was a misfire of a tool in the surgery that I had in Norway. And so it didn't heal properly, basically. And I had a torn meniscus that needed to be repaired. And that was like the final straw for me, where I was like, okay, this actually is definitely a sign, you know? And that's when I really got into some like health and wellness things that I do now. But that was, yeah. I mean, I do think that like, I was still trying to play. Like, even after that meniscus surgery, I was out on the field as soon as I could be, ripping shots. But yeah, then COVID hit. And so like that surgery and COVID was really the ceiling point of like, okay, this is like my sign. Like, I'm not going to do this. And yeah, like
the universe is saying, she's really not listening to us
up, yeah, here. Exactly, like that is exactly it. Even though I was like, you know, I was kind of listening, but I was like tipping my toes in the water of like, let's see like how far I can really push this. And so
yeah, oh god, she's got a ball out, send in a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. But yeah, I mean, like it made everything so much easier, because like it's almost like each surgery I had, more things I learned, you know? And so like every time I came back to play, I was like, felt a little better of like, okay, if this doesn't work out, like I feel safer. I'm not going to force this as much. And so, yeah.
Like, you're finding other outlets with the health, wellness and photography and all these are tying in and things like that. I've had one knee injury not as serious as yours, but it wiped out a year, 10 months maybe.
What'd you do?
MCL, ACL, and a little meniscus tear, and a bit of a fracture on my patella.
Oh, I got that too. Like,
luckily it was displaced, so there was no, it wasn't displaced rather, so there was no pins okay. needed or anything like that. It just had to sit and heal. And I had okay. one of those fantastic braces that goes from your ankle to your upper thigh, with that yeah. RoboCop vibe going on.
Yep, yep.
And I'm a pretty active person, but like your job and your life had been to use your body up to that point.
Yeah.
And I struggled not being able to use it for until you can start to do little bits and you start the kneehab and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you're not using it with any kind of, what's the word? Like, you know, you're not using it in any kind of anger or purpose is the word I'm looking for. You're not using it with any kind of purpose. How are you coping with yeah. that at the time? And when you're starting to look at routes outside of the game, outside of playing, how are you kind of looking to fill that void of, well, I need to move, and I need to move to a standard because that's what I'm used to. You know, you can't just go sedentary yeah. all of a sudden and, you know, be satisfied with writing your blog, right? Like, your body is your tool, and it's not just a tool for your physical outlet, but it's a, you know, it's a tool for your mental wellness at the same time. So yeah, what does that look like in terms of reframing how you use your body, but in a way that kind of respects the condition that it's gradually ending up in?
Yeah, this is a great question, because right now I'm actually dealing with a lot of that too, because I did have a 7th knee surgery last year, and like I
same one
realized that I realized like this past year that yeah 7th
on the same right knee. Oh my god.
Yeah. I know.
Sorry.
I'm telling you, it's actually made out of cottage. It's actually made out of like cheesecake. I feel like I have grown so much. Like I've learned so much about myself. And speaking of just like someone going through this, I actually wrote a whole like injury recovery book for, it was at first in collaboration with a blog called the ACL Club. And so it's like, I go through like journal prompts, like affirmations, what you can eat, like mindset things, because of like what I went through and like the things I've learned. But mentally, what's really hard in the beginning, like the first three surgeries, I guess, or like first two surgeries is really hard because I didn't know. Physically, during those times, like I would find ways to move. Like I was doing my exercises and really looked forward to doing my exercises because it was a way for me to move my body. And it was a way for me to like feel hope, you know, because it's like, oh, if I do these things every single day, like I'm going to be able to play and I'm going to get like there. My physical therapist is structuring a plan for me to be at optimal performance level. But now, like the last three surgeries, I didn't always have a personal trainer like holding my hand through the whole thing. So it was definitely very hard, but I found other ways to like work out when I couldn't. Like you said, like I was also in a straight leg brace after like, I think it was my 6th surgery. I had like this major thing going on. And so I had that surgery. And I remember a few days later when I felt like normal after surgery, you don't really feel normal for a few days. I started doing Pilates at home. And so like, I wasn't using my leg, but like I found other ways to move my body that felt good and like made me feel like a normal person. Cause I'm not, you know, like that's the other thing that I had to learn was I'm not working out and training right now to be at optimal performance level. Like, I'm doing this for my mental health and just like stay strong, you know, and in shape. And so I had to find other ways to do that. And like, I'm still dealing with that right now because my knee is not in a good place. And I developed a lot of anxiety. Like, I didn't realize, but like through these like past 5 years, I developed so much anxiety because football, soccer was a way for me to meditate in a way. Like, I wasn't thinking about other problems going on in my life when I was on the pitch. Like, I was just thinking about what I had to do in that time. And I remember playing pickup with Neighborhood Sports Club like 6 months ago. And I just jumped in for fun because we needed an extra player. I was like, okay, why not? Like, I'll just do it. And I felt so great after. Like, I felt like free finally. And I feel like it's still hard for me to really find ways of moving my body that I feel that free. And I think that just goes to show like how much I loved the game and like how much it helped me too. And I didn't realize how much it helped me mentally. But yeah, like I'm still kind of learning other ways to really like, I'm learning to like replace that like activity of playing football with something else. And like, I'm actively trying to like, I'm using breath work, I'm journaling, I'm like looking, like I'm researching to like almost get a certification in like somatic healing practices to help that transition, because, you know, people go through certain things that I've been through and like can't move their body the way they want to and like can't get that release of like energy or like anxiety. Like, our the anxiety needs to move through our body, but if we can't move our body because it's like disabled or we have injuries that are holding us back from really doing what we want to do, like you're stuck with that. You're stuck with that feeling. Like, you can do all of the journaling and all of the breath work and go to a therapist, but like you need to move it through your body. And so I'm still trying to really find the like way that I can do that. But, you know, there's certain things like certain workouts that like I'll do a little lift or whatever, but it's not the same. Like, it's not the same as getting out there on the field. And so, yeah, I think that's been probably the biggest struggle, but definitely like there's help when it comes to journaling and breath work and stuff, but still nothing will compare to like getting out there on the pitch and running around and passing. And, you know, it's also that community aspect of like being with other people who really love doing that. And so there's so much involved in like, I think how you feel after playing.
The collaborative effort of a game is a factor of that as well, right? You're part of something. You're not just moving your body. I think I'm right in saying like you, yeah, like all you guys run, I run a lot, and there's amazing benefits I get to that. But I also, if I run over a certain period of time or a certain distance, it becomes a battle of the mind then. And I don't always like what goes on in there. But a football match, when you're with your teammates and you're all kind of working together, there is a sense of satisfaction that plays alongside the physical exertion at the same time. So I totally get that. It is difficult to replace that. It's the camaraderie and the physical kind of all mixed in one, like working together for a common goal, which is the essence of like community at the end of the day, isn't it? And
yeah,
and I guess that brings us neatly on to, before I go on to that, can I just ask what your experience of breath work is? How are you finding breath work? Have you had any gnarly experiences with like tingling sensations and things like this?
Tingling sensations, not yet. I'm kind of like really new to it. Not really new, but new to a sense that like I really want to explore it more and do it more. My anxiety will be so bad, and it like usually will make my stomach hurt just really bad. Like, I just like feel nauseous and terrible things. And so breath work has really helped me like work through that. And I mean, our breath is so, it's like if we're not breathing, we're not alive. And so I feel like learning to like work with that is something I'm really interested in. But like right now I'm just doing either like YouTube videos, or my therapist will send me a little script. But yeah, I really want to, because like even when you're playing soccer, like your breath is so important. And if I knew how to deal with my breath, I feel like it would really unlock a new level of performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I if you find access to a workshop or a breathwork practitioner in your area, please let me know how you get on, because I was not expecting what came out of this 90-minute session, maybe something like that. Like a lot of emotion being expelled from my body. Like tears, shivers, my left hand, like I couldn't unclench my fingers. It felt like electricity was bolting through just that one arm. It's quite a scary feeling at the time. I was absolutely shattered afterwards, but also a little bit kind of shaken, because your body's going through this kind of like, I don't want to say traumatic, because it's releasing that. It's releasing, like your body keeps hold of these things, right? Yeah. Like emotional experiences. It's keeping the score. And breath work is a great way of getting some of that stuff out. I agree with you though. There is nothing quite like moving the body to shake that stuff out. Yeah. But if you get the opportunity to go, I feel like I'm just kind of recommending wellness practices to you guys now. I've got Dylan onto gong baths. I'm trying to send you to a breathwork workshop, but I'd be keen to hear. Let me know how you get on.
We'll just start a wellness practice.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you do that with the guided meditations and all this kind of thing. And
yeah, I am doing that.
Oh, so the guided meditation. I know you guys offer this guided meditation practice and run club and all this kind of thing. Does this play in, or tie in rather, with your wellness blog and research and interests? Is this, are you driving that side of the club?
So wait, we don't offer guided meditation just yet. Maybe we will.
Okay, right. Or is it something you do together, maybe just the three of you? Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah. I think we'll just do it together. We'll like start our meetings off with like a little meditation, you know, to get grounded and like all be present. I mean, ideally that's like part of the reason why, like not part of the reason, but like part of like our encompassing like neighborhood sports club, to have like all these tools to help you, you know, like obviously there's the football side, but there's so much more. And I think I personally am so passionate about the health and wellness side. Yeah. Like I have a wellness company that is tailored to current female athletes and then former athletes. And so to have like a space where people could come is like a dream. And so, yeah, like eventually that will be definitely part of it. We'll have, maybe like you can come into town and we can do a breath work session.
Yeah, I'll bring a warning sheet, because nobody told me what I was going to go through before I signed up for that. And I think had I known, I may have gone in. Yeah, well, I may not have gone in. If they'd have told me that, I'd end up cry my eyes out in a room full of strangers for an hour.
Yeah, but that's the beautiful thing. Unable to ungrip my wrist.
Yeah. It's the vulnerability. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I suppose experiencing that in a group is all part of belonging, I guess, as well, and realizing that you're not alone. I wasn't the only one crying my eyes out. Someone else, and then there's someone else over here and all this kind of thing. So yeah, you realize that you're not alone. Everyone's got their things that they're working through.
Like imagine your whole team or something did this breath work session, and I feel like I think we like for me, for example, like in a team setting, whether it was like I learned this through having an injury, like I would say I was okay to show up for my team because I didn't want to let my team down, or like I didn't want to lose my job, you know, so I'm going to show up even though I'm not okay. And I think we do that a lot with our mental health. Like we just show up because we don't want to let other people down, or like we want to fool ourselves into thinking that we are okay. And it never ends up well when we don't truly like express ourselves or like share what we're actually going through. We always end up getting more injured, whether it's mentally or physically. And I feel like if we had this like tool to help us just like feel more connected, like everyone felt a little more like felt like it was okay to be like vulnerable and all that stuff, like I feel like the team in general would be so successful because you felt like so much more connected and everyone like knew more about how you were feeling instead of like hiding these feelings, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And as you're saying that, I'm just wondering if, even though you wanted a career as a professional footballer, whether like the what you wanted and what your purpose is are two different things, right? And maybe you've been put through these tests and what was it, 112 knee surgeries now you've had?
No, that's scary.
Maybe you've been
just
put through
seven.
Just seven for now. Maybe you've been put through these challenges so that you're in a position to guide people through their own, you know, and using NSC as a vehicle to do that, you're essentially kind of you're serving your sports community, right? Your athletic community through your own experiences, which will help them navigate difficult periods that they'll eventually go through, whether that's football related injuries, health injuries, mental health battles, you know. It's like you're battle worn yourself now in many ways, but for the greater good.
Yeah,
like for you to be of service down the line. It's quite a beautiful kind of 180, you know, like kind of not really having any other focus during the early days of your career, just wanting, like, so bloody minded in wanting to do that one thing, having the thing taken away from you for a set of circumstances beyond your control, but then using that as a force for good rather than wear it as a chip on your shoulder and like a stick to beat yourself with, or an excuse that the world is against you, that kind of thing. You've spun it on its head and are using it in a much more positive way. So yeah, fair play to that, because I did not stop moaning for 10 months when I had my knee injury. So I've got massive respect to you for going through all of those and spinning it into something that's of use to people.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I think, I mean, obviously it took a little time to like be okay with all of that stuff, but yeah, I think I really had to change my perspective of like, okay, I did have this surgery, but like I have all these other things still, and like it's just my knee, you know, like I'm going to be able to be okay. And then I also got to learn about all this other stuff, and like you said, I do think that, like, I mean, it helps me sleep good at night because I feel like you said, I was given these challenges to, like, at the time I didn't know why I was given these challenges, but now I feel like, oh, like this is, yeah, maybe my purpose. Like I was put through this to like learn. And like, even right now I go through hard times, but I feel like, okay, this is just me going through this to learn in order to help other people. And I do love helping other people. And I feel like I've always, like, that's what I said, like, when we were just starting our conversations, like I had other passions. Like I do like to help other people. Like when I was younger, I was like, oh, maybe I'll be a teacher, you know, which is like kind of crazy because like I am a teacher in a way now, just with different things. And yeah, it's, I feel very content and like happy with what I'm doing. But like I said, there's still fears. And I think there are fears because being like, when we talk about the identity side, like I was so like, I am a footballer, I'm a soccer player, like this is my identity. Once that got taken away from me, I felt like resentment towards playing and watching and stuff. Like it, I had like this like 6 month a year period of like, I don't even want to watch. I don't even want to be involved. Like I had friends playing. I didn't feel like supporting them, which is really bad to say, but like, I felt like I was like dealt very badly with this soccer community. I was like, I don't even want to be a part of it. And so it is a little scary to be entering it again with Neighborhood Sports Club, with this health coaching stuff, because it's like, I identified as this footballer and now I'm not necessarily identifying as like this soccer health coach or football health coach wellness thing and like having this community with Neighborhood Sports Club. But it is a little scary to like re-enter that like territory that like did get taken away from you very quickly. But like I said, I didn't realize there was other jobs inside of football. And so like being able to like create those jobs for myself through wellness and other things, and then also through Neighborhood Sports Club, like it is like comforting to know that like there is, you know, more, and like football isn't going to hurt me. Like it's still there. And it's like, I still love it. You know, it wasn't football or soccer that like was bad to me. It was like, my body failed me. I didn't know. I was uneducated. Like my mindset, there's all these other things into play. And so that's where I found my biggest passion and like learning how to support myself. And like, whether that's with my mindset and identity and like who I think I am, with injury prevention and all that stuff, like creating tools for other players and for other former players to really like be okay, you know?
Yeah. It's the, despite the, and I don't know if this is any help or not, and I hope it comes across the right way, the correct, or the way it's intended. Yeah, the way it's intended. But despite, yes, despite a relatively short career in football, the game has given you plenty in terms of life experience and skill set that can have much more of a meaningful impact outside of just what it has on you, right? You could have played for 10, 15 years. That's all very nice. Great, great stuff. But you, the lessons it's taught you will, the lessons it's taught you and the path it's put you on do give you an opportunity to have a meaningful impact outside of what the stats look like at the end of the day when you hang up the boots, you know? So that's a good thing. It might not always feel that way, especially when you're walking upstairs in the middle of winter and you get a few creaks in the knee, but it's all for the greater good, I think. Because there's no greater source of self-worth than being of service to the people that are in the community, and especially the one that you've built. You know, you've built a community yourselves. I know we haven't talked about NSC a lot. I'm sorry about that, but I got very carried away with your personal journey. But yeah, like, you know, I think it clearly hasn't always felt like it was working out, but from where you've ended up now and from what you just said a few minutes ago about your tendencies as a child to want to help people and things like that, it sounds like you have ended up where you're meant to be. You just went on a detour of a very painful football career on the way.
I thank you for saying that. I took it the right way. It was great.
Oh, good. Good. Maybe I've got a future in this game after all. Jordan, I'm going to let you get on with your morning. I'm going to have to crack on with my evening over here. Really enjoyed that chat. And thank you again for persevering with the tech issues. It'll be an interesting start to the to the podcast with us celebrating.
Yeah, I'm no tech person.
You solved the problem today because you're good at helping people. There we go. It all ties around.
Yeah, exactly. I'll always find a way.
But yeah, I'll let you crack on with your day. Thanks again so much for the chat. Don't forget to get that thank you off of your parents for the easy ride you gave them when you were younger.
I know, I'm going to go do that right now.
Take it easy. Cheers, Jordan.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to hit the follow button and I'll see you next time.